And then I'm like, do you need help? Do you want me to like help you with those? And he was like, no, no, I got it. He's like,
and then
I was like, no, let me help you out with that. So he's holding his foot up like this.
Oh.
And with both arms, like, and then like, I'm like putting the sock on. I'd like stretch it out in like this like big, huge sock that goes all up to his knee. And just like, and it's so tight. Like it's this spandex tight. And I like get it over his heel, you know, and he's like, okay, it's good. And he's like trying to get it up. oh my word. Hilarious.
But you had to do it again with the other foot, didn't you?
He was exhausted. I was like,
by the end.
He slept good right after.
Oh my goodness. That was on your way home?
Yeah, so he was like, Karen's gonna kill me. Karen's gonna kill me if I didn't wear my compression socks. I was like, well, better not let that happen. Get over here. Give me those piggies.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of His Spirit do better, so together we can be a little better. Hello and welcome back to A Little Better. I am your host today. My name is Maddie. Brad's not with us today, but I have some other friends with me.
Welcome.
Noah and Paige, welcome. So Noah, I'd love just to dive in. Could you give us your sermon in 60 on Ruth 4?
Yeah, we're diving into Ruth chapter 4, and it's all about trusting God and His providence. Through this whole story of Ruth, we see God weaving together the right outcome for Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And there's no some crazy huge miracle or anything. It's just God at work behind the scenes. And so the big challenge is to trust God with your story and to release control and surrender those things that we hold so tightly to, the ways that we think it should go, and just let God lead us and to trust that He has a plan that's better than ours.
So. Yeah. I love just how you leaned into how relatable the story of Ruth is, but then also just God's hand all in the details. Paige, what stood out to you from Noah's sermon?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the things that I love most about God is, I think, His intentionality. And in Ruth, I think you just see that so clearly, how you're going along in the story and you're not really sure what it's going to look like if you only read chapter one, but you have to read all the way to chapter four to be able to see like all the little details and the nuances. And I'm sure there are parts that I still don't see of like God's hand in that and how He's so intentional with every single facet. And then it just gives me, I don't know, like encouragement in my own life of how God does the same for me. I often don't think about that. I think of like the Bible, when you read a story or someone's life, like it's separated, like you still like pick some things out for yourself, but that same God who wove intentionality through that story is weaving intentionality in my life. And I just, then it becomes like a scavenger hunt. Like, where do I see glimpses of God weaving my story, using me in His greater picture and plan?
Yeah, I love just how you highlighted God's intentionality in that. What were other characteristics of God that stood out to y'all reading the whole book of Ruth or just chapter four?
I think God's faithfulness through the whole story, He's with Ruth. You know, He's not leaving her. I think often we just get in the place where we're praying for deliverance. Like, Lord, just deliver me from this pain. We just want to be free of this. We just end this, you know? But we're missing like who we're becoming and who God, the purpose that God has for us in that pain. And, you know, Romans 8:28, you know, that God has a purpose for all of us in our pain. And it works for the good of those called according to His purpose. And I think that often we try to run away from the pain and ask for deliverance, ask for relief, rather than growing into becoming better Christians. But the faithfulness of God in that story, and then also the way that He's like a provider who provides for, He's a protector, He's a father. And so Ruth and Naomi, they're widows, they're fatherless, they're husbandless, and He provides in all those ways. And so to the widows, to the orphans, to people without dads or without husbands, man, what an encouragement to see the God as a father, God as a provider, God as a protector. Love all those characteristics of God that are displayed. And then even the way that He weaves it into the story of David and the New Testament, and He provides for us today, not just for Ruth and Naomi, but for you and for me. He provides a king, He provides a protection, a way out, and He's just providing for us continuing today. And so those are some of the characteristics that stand out, that faithful through over eons, over centuries, over decades. And this story doesn't happen quickly. It might be the long haul that we see God work. And so looking forward, it's hard to see God working. But if you look backwards, you can see His hands, His fingerprints, so many parts of our lives.
Yeah, no, that just speaks to like His sovereignty, like how His, it's like so far removed. Like we look at time so linear, but then how He's like up and above and out of that. but at the same time is a God who's close, like is a God who sees Ruth, like where she is, and sees Naomi and sees like her feelings and her experience. But like that, when I start to think about it, it like blows my brain apart where I'm like, okay, he's like so far above, but then also like intimately acquainted with people. Mm-hmm. Like that's just wild.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's cool. You can see his intentional provision in the details of Ruth, but then like the broad picture too, like you're saying, the whole redemptive narrative. And what I think is interesting about the Old Testament, especially Ruth, is it's not explicitly said, like God is faithful or God is providing. It's like we have to identify that in reading the whole of the story. So with that in mind, what are some, this is kind of a tangent, but what are some practical suggestions for people reading the Old Testament books like Ruth, where it's like, God is working, I know that, but how do I see that? So yeah, just any practical suggestions of reading Old Testament books that y'all have?
Mm-hmm. I love reading with an application study Bible to see the notes and the commentary on it. And so if I just read the Bible or just listen to it, sometimes I miss some of the nuance or the details or the connected passages that maybe speak to another area. Mm-hmm. Some of the things like Ruth is actually set in the book of Judges. So the time frame is inside Judges. I didn't realize that until reading some of the commentaries.
Yeah.
And even like, there's so much detail that I've left out of the message around the commentaries in the foreshadowing of Christ.
We would have been there all day.
Yeah, well, I could have been. I mean, yeah, we would have been stuck in.
Have you met Noah?
Yeah. Yeah, I have so much cool stuff from this passage. You know, I was asking myself, why would like Naomi send Ruth to not the closest kinsman redeemer? Mm-hmm. Why would she send her to Boaz, who's like further away from like the kinsman redeemer? And maybe it's Boaz's kindness. Like she knew he was kind-hearted and was looking out for Ruth. I don't know what all those, and it's like you start to ask yourself these questions and you unpack it. But I think reading with a commentary is really helpful, or study Bible. Like if you look at the Life Application Study Bible, that's my favorite one.
Yeah.
And I just look at the notes at the bottom. I'll look at maybe the cross references and it pulls out like maps and it's showing you diagrams. And that's just what I do to figure out, hey, what's this saying and what does this mean? Yeah. Another one I use is Constable's notes online. They're free and it's just a commentary that helps me a lot in studying.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Paige, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many resources out there where I sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, like where do you even start is sometimes the feeling. But the other thing that I feel like is like maybe too simple is read with a friend like as well. I think sometimes just I'll read something through my own lens and I'm like, all right, I don't get it. And then I like ask someone else, like, what was your take on that or whatever? And sometimes just that, which even I feel like in community group, like when you unpack like a sermon, you come with your own takeaways and things. And then like you hear someone else share and you're like, what? Were we in the same room? Cause I didn't hear that. So I think leaning on each other too is also helpful. Like if you can find a buddy to kind of go through a study together and just unpack it together. And I think that also the Old Testament can be really dry, I think, as well. And then you're like, all right, well, let me just read a psalm instead. Or let me just read like from the New Testament because that's like a little easier to digest. But I think when you do it with a buddy, you're in it together. And then you're both like, yeah, I don't know. But then like you're learning things together, you're growing. So in a practical sense, I would say find a little buddy.
Yeah.
If it is maybe your first time reading through the Old Testament or you're not sure like how to get some momentum there and that accountability then brings in the habit of continuing to go back, even though it doesn't feel maybe in the beginning or certain parts. Like when you hit Leviticus, I feel like that's when all read the Bible in a year plans fall apart.
Amen.
Numbers.
But yeah, there's also like the Bible Recap is a great resource. I really like the Bible Project because they'll unpack like a whole, they give you basically a summary video at the start with a lot of visuals and graphics and context that is very much so just easy to understand and digest. So whenever I go to read a book in the Old Testament where I'm like, all right, this is going to be, whew, to get my work boots on or whatever, I'll watch that video first and be like, okay, I'm understanding the overall storyline. And that gives me some handrails when I start to kind of dive further into the book. But I think the reality is the Old Testament is hard for a lot of people to read, including people who are in ministry and like on staff. And like, it's not something that it feels like, oh, that's for like them to figure out. I think we all we just get to do it together and figure it out. But there are cool things to unpack, like mm-hmm. in Ruth.
Yeah, that's awesome. A really helpful resource for me is a book called How to Read the Bible. And we actually have been going through Ruth with NYM students, mm-hmm. and we gave that to them. And it's a book that just talks about, you know, how do we read different genres of scripture. So for Ruth, it's a narrative. Mm-hmm. And it's a really helpful thing that is stories, or there's characters mm-hmm. in it. And what's cool about Ruth is those characters, like Boaz, is reflecting the character of God. So mm-hmm. even like students, teens have been making these connections. So it's mm-hmm. like, yes, God's word is accessible to all of us and all mm-hmm. of our minds, and mm-hmm. super grateful for all these resources we have. Mm-hmm. But kind of moving on and touching back to your sermon, Noah, you talked about this theological foreshadowing that's happening in Ruth. Mm-hmm. Could you just expand on a little bit and mm-hmm. just talk about, like, how does the gospel connect into the book of Ruth?
Mm-hmm. So it's a redemption story, right, where Ruth was lost, and she's a foreigner in Moab, and she lost her family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have an inheritance or an heir. And we're in the same boat. You know, as people on earth, we fall to death, to sin, destruction. If you're alive, you have a disease, and it's called death. Mm-hmm. It's called sin. And so when we're in that boat of we're separated from God, we don't have a family. We don't have an inheritance. Mm-hmm. We don't have an heir in heaven with us. And it's kind of this beautiful picture of Christ marrying the church. Boaz marries Ruth and creates a new family, a family that makes us co-heirs with Christ. It talks about in Ephesians, where we have a new inheritance and it's in heaven. Mm-hmm. We now are seated next to Christ with God. And so there's this place where we get to be part of God's story and be redeemed from the decisions we made, from the death. Talks about Adam being the first Adam who fell. Mm-hmm. Christ is the second Adam who redeems that story, that narrative, mm-hmm. and puts us back in right standing with God, in relationship with him, if we accept the free gift that he offers us. And so we have a lot of new life on the other side of death. And same thing with Ruth. Mm-hmm. New life is found on the other side of death with a new family with Boaz. Mm-hmm. And Boaz is looking out for her in the same way that God is for us. Mm-hmm. She's poor. She didn't bring a lot to the table. She's not, you know, this amazing addition to Boaz's family. He mm-hmm. just loves her and goes to bat for her, fights for her, and tells the other kinsman redeemer, hey, this is a legal transaction I'm making in my blood. I'm marrying her. Mm-hmm. She's coming into my family. I'm making a new family. And in the same way, we're getting legally moved into God's family. There's a transaction that's occurring where we are free from death and sin, and now we are in Christ in a new family. And that happens when we accept Christ's redemption for us and the blood that he shed on the cross. So
yeah. I also love in Ruth how like the culmination of redemption is marriage, and like that is redeeming the whole of her life. But then like we've talked about, like, but then the details are being redeemed too. And I just think like with the gospel, like the whole of our life is redeemed at salvation and God is sanctifying us, but also he's redeeming all those little parts too, mm-hmm. which I just think, yeah, it's just encouraging mm-hmm. to see that picture in Ruth. But with that idea of redemption, kind of practically speaking, how do y'all think, or how would y'all encourage people to endure the waiting to see redemption? Mm-hmm. So what will that endurance look like, or how do we mm-hmm. do that?
I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is to remember. I think God gave us memory for a reason, to be able to look back and see where he has been faithful. And even if you can't see it yet in your own life, like talking to other people, like the Bible tells us to like tell of his works to one generation, to another, you know, like in Psalms. And so I think that's kind of how God created us to give us some more help to help us endure that waiting, is just to say, like, remember, look back and remember, and look back and see if you found a time where like God didn't come through for you, you know, like in the past, and you won't find it. Like he has been faithful the whole time. Yeah. I think for me, when I go through seasons that are really hard, or I'm waiting, or I just don't understand what God is doing, and I can't reconcile what I'm seeing with his character, but I'm holding fast to like, I know that his character is true. Mm-hmm. My circumstances are the ones that are changing. Yeah. What helps me the most is to look back and remember his faithfulness, and to remember like, okay, but remember that season of life where in the moment I felt the same exact way, but now 10 years later, God had totally worked it out in cool ways of redemption that are beautiful in ways that I couldn't see coming. And I think that's what helps me a lot, is to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, perseverance produces steadfastness, you know, produces something in us mm-hmm. through the pain. And we want this quick fix, the solution that, like, God saved me from my circumstances. But sometimes preparation comes packaged as the pain. And so sometimes God's using pain to prepare us for something greater. He's using mm-hmm. suffering. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you face all kinds of suffering. It's just a way for God to strengthen us, encourage mm-hmm. us. In 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11, it says, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, mm-hmm. he will restore, support, and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen." Mm-hmm. And I just love that God uses the hardest things in our life to bring us close to him.
Yeah.
And so often we just want him to remove the hard things from our life. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the thing that's drawing us closest to him. We're actually running mm-hmm. from closeness to him by trying to solve the hard stuff mm-hmm. and by trying to avoid suffering. Mm-hmm. We're just like a very comfortable culture, wants to run from pain. Anything that hurts is bad. Yeah. And that might not be true. You know, sometimes people go through workouts, they put themselves through marathons. Pain mm-hmm. is preparation for something greater. You have mm-hmm. to run 18 miles before you run 26.
Yeah.
And sometimes that pain is good for you. But a lot of times we're like, "Lord, this hurts too much. I don't want this pain. I don't want any kind of preparation." What, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes God is preparing you for something greater through your pain, through your suffering, through your waiting. And so often I miss the preparation. I miss what God has packaged for me. And mm-hmm. I just see the pain. I just see the heart. I just see the hurt. And I miss mm-hmm. the suffering. But I love 1 Peter 5 where after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think like suffering pitches us to the recognition, like this redemption is in God's hand. Mm-hmm. You see that in Ruth in chapter 1, when Naomi is like crying out to like, mm-hmm. God's mm-hmm. hand is against you, but she still acknowledges like the Almighty is against me, of like, mm-hmm. this is in his hands. And again, that's her expression in suffering. But I just think, mm-hmm. yeah, there is the beauty to suffering. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel beautiful. in that recognition, like mm-hmm. redemption isn't possible through me, but through Christ. I think too, just back to Paige's point of community, I think that's been so helpful for me mm-hmm. to see God's redemption in my life, because they can point out things that mm-hmm. are being redeemed or growth or whatever that might be that mm-hmm. I'm missing in the midst of the waiting or whatever, the sanctification of my life. But that's so good. Okay, so kind of shifting to God's providence and sovereignty, you talked a lot about that in throughout your sermon. What did that look like in Ruth's life? And then how do y'all see that in your life? Or have you seen God show up in that way?
Mm-hmm. I think one area story I could tell is when we were like dating and you know, talking about getting married and mm-hmm. things like that, and just trying to figure it out, like, God, what do you want? And one of the things, like, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I think that that might be the most disobeyed verse in the whole Bible. Like, mm-hmm. trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, mm-hmm. and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I think I have an argument to say that that is the mm-hmm. most disobeyed verse in the entire Bible. Mm-hmm. But when we were dating and talking about getting married and things, the best part was when I said, "All right, God, this isn't my relationship. This mm-hmm. is yours. And I'm going to trust you to make this path straight." And oftentimes the path looks very crooked. You know what I mean? It looks like, bro, this path of singleness is crooked. I don't know what you're talking about straight, Noah, or what God's path is straight. But, mm-hmm. I think that often, it's easy to take back control and to rely on myself and to not trust the providence of God, that he has a plan. And so in that, when I just surrendered control of it and said, "Lord, this is yours. If you want me to get married, great. If you don't want me to get married, great. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do your will regardless of the circumstances." Mm-hmm. It kind of changed our relationship a lot. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it wasn't about me, but it was about how much glory I could bring to God. Mm-hmm. And we thought we could bring more glory to God together than we did apart.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if that's the goal, then let's do it. Send mm-hmm. it. Let's get married, you know? And so I think it reframed things to say that not my will be done, but yours, mm-hmm. you know? And if mm-hmm. I can trust God with my singleness, I can trust God with my marriage.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those are the things that are hardest to trust God with, is decisions about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like one example from our life mm-hmm. that I feel like, man, God was so faithful in that, and he taught me so much in trusting in him with all my heart.
Yeah.
And so easy to just pull back a little piece of my heart for myself. I'll handle this, Lord. You don't worry about this. The finances, I got those, you know. Yeah. I don't want to trust you with those. I'll trust you with the whatever else, but yeah, that's mine, you know. Right. So
all right, so as we wrap up, what is like a one sentence encouragement you would give someone who's hesitant to trust or isn't quite taking that step? It's a one sentence encouragement.
There's purpose in your pain. There's blessing in your bitterness. Trust God with all of it.
Hmm. I think I would say just trust him with today. Hmm. Start That's with good. Today mm-hmm. and see what he does.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow.
You're so wise. Stop. You should have gone first. No. That's crazy. That's insane.
No. That's what I would say. Just trust him with today and see what he does.
That's so
and
good.
And keep trusting him until he proves
Yeah, that'll
wrong.
Preach. That'll preach. You should just preach the sermon.
Stop it. Insane. I hate public speaking.
You would do great. Yeah, I had a friend encourage me last year. He just said to pray the prayer like your way, your will, your timing, just every single day, just to keep that posture of surrender. But thanks, guys, so much for your wisdom. I could talk all day. This is so encouraging. But we can't do that. We do have a time limit. But before we wrap up, Noah, what do we have coming up that everyone should be aware of? We're looking forward
to. Yeah, so Ruth is over. We just finished it. The story of redemption is complete, and Ruth is married to Boaz, so we're off to the races. Next series is called Because I Said So, and it's all about parenting. And I'm really excited. The most exciting part about this, I think, is that Ashley is actually going to be speaking some practical truth about parenting, and so bringing a motherly perspective to how they walk out in their home parenting. So Drew's going to preach for about 20 minutes, and then Ashley's going to join him for or 10 minutes and just break it down. What's this mean practically? Like, it's easy to say, here's what to do, here's the steps, here's a plan, work the plan, but how does this walk out day to day, life to life? How do you discipline kids? How do you help them grow in their walk with Christ? How do you point them to Jesus? How do you lead them in a way that brings light to the home and helps lift everybody around them? And so it'll be really cool. Sweet. I'm encouraged. I'm excited.
Yeah, all the wisdom. Can't wait. Well, thank you all so much for joining us, and we hope to see you next week.
Peace.